8. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. The cup of the wicked, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now, Psalm 75. Verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and lifteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. Surely the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall drain them and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Notice there is a cup in the hand of the Lord. Now, Isaiah 51. Verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, that hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, thou hast drunken the bowl of the cup of staggering, and drained it. Verse 21. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord God, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of staggering, even the bowl of the cup of my wrath. Thou shalt no more drink it again. And I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, that hath said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. Notice, this cup taken out of one hand, and God says, I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Now, Jeremiah 25. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel unto me, take this cup of the wine of wrath at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Verse 27, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall surely drink. And the last portion in the New Testament, Revelation 14. Revelation 14:8. And another, a second angel followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, that hath made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a great voice, If any man worshipeth the beast and his image, and receiveth a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Notice, here is the last cup. They shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that in time all things are brought together, all things that seemed unresolved fall into place. We thank you for this. We could wish as thou dost wish, our Father, that they would end differently. But as thy Son said, not my will but thine be done. Thou dost know that men say, not thy will be done, but my will be done. Our Father, we are thankful that you show us the truth concerning those who submit to thy will and those who refuse thy will. So, our God, from the solemn portions that we have read, may they be taken to heart. May we see the end of the matter. We have considered our lot in life, and at times, our Father, we stand by Asaph and would complain, and we would fret, and we would be overwhelmed by the portion that is ours in this life until we go into the sanctuary of God and consider. So, our Lord, let us consider the end of the wicked. Not the beginning of the matter, but the end of the matter. That is our desire. So teach us this night about this cup of which we have read. We thank you for the blessing of the day, our Father. We remember the psalmist saying, A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. There were those of old, our God, who enjoyed being in thy presence. At that time, a special house. We are thankful, our God, that there are still some who enjoy being in this house with the people of God, and they can say truthfully from their heart, A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. May this ever be our confession that comes from our lips, and may we never say, Our soul loathes this light bread. But may the manna from heaven, our God, ever be precious in our sight. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and empower and prepare hearts, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I could wish to speak about other things than the portions that I've read tonight, but it logically follows that if the subject of the cup of the Lord is going to be considered in its completeness, then of necessity I must speak on the portions that I've read tonight. Over the past weeks, I have told you about different cups for different people. I've told you, first of all, about the Father's cup for his Son. And then I told you about the Son's cup for his people. But you say, the Father's cup for his Son, this is God's only begotten Son, and the Son's cup for his people, they are the people of God. But what about the rest? God has a cup for them as well. Understand concerning us. the Lord Jesus, taking into consideration what could have been done, that our Savior had a will of his own. And so in that sense, he could have refused the cup. Why? Because he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." For the Savior not to have a will and to do the will of the Father, what glory is that? But for the Savior to have a will, to understand the pain and suffering and alienation involved in doing the Father's will, and still so yield his will to the Father's will, that he could say, "I can of myself do nothing." It does not mean that he had no power to do nothing, but it meant that he had so yielded his will to the Father's will that he could of himself do nothing. Therefore, it is glorious when our Savior says, "Not my will, but thine be done." So in that sense, understand that the cup that the Father gave the Son, he could have refused it, but he said, "Shall I not drink it?" Just consider that for now. Concerning Christ's cup. Now notice, the cup which the Father had given me, that is the Father's cup. But once Christ took it and drank it, then he says, "My cup you shall drink." So Christ's cup is the cup that he took from the Father's hand and passes it on to his followers. And so he calls it my cup. And I told you about that this morning when the Savior said, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink?" They said, "We are able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. We are able." And the Lord said, "You shall drink of my cup. You shall be baptized with my baptism." Keep that in mind. But I have told you that there are times when God takes his cup and brings it to the lips of his people, and they refuse to drink it. And the simplest illustration is that of Jonah. The Father has a cup. It is a cup that extends mercy to the inhabitants of Nineveh under the judgment of God. And he says to Jonah, "Now, you take this. I want you to be my missionary. Go and preach unto Nineveh and say, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" And Jonah turns his lips from that cup and flees to Tarshish. Eventually, he drinks of that cup because the cup that the Father gives us is his will for our lives. It is what life holds for us. And to be a missionary, to be sent to people that I want to be saved, is one thing. But to be a missionary and carry the message of salvation to those that I hate and do not want to experience the mercy of God, that is a different thing. And so the cup is brought to Jonah's lips, and Jonah says, "No." Eventually, he accepts that cup. When in the belly of the great fish, he says, "Salvation is of the Lord." You see, Asaph said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God." At times, we learn the Lord's mind in his sanctuary. At other times, we learn the Lord's mind in the belly of a great fish, in the direst circumstances. But then, eventually, Jonah says, "Yes." And he accepts the cup. But even though he does the Father's will, he does it reluctantly, and it displeases him when God's will, which was to show mercy upon those cursed Ninevites, instead God bestows mercy instead of the judgment that was the message that Jonah was to take to them. And it displeased Jonah. However, in the case of Jonah, so in the case of those in the New Testament. Now understand this. When the Savior said, "Are you able to drink my cup?" They said, "Yes." Here is John Mark, who goes on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And he continues with them until he comes to Antioch. And then he refuses to accept the portion of God's will in that cup any more. And he returns to Jerusalem. And therefore, the cup that God extends to us, it can be refused. Eventually, Paul, who saw the failure of this young man, saw his refusal to do the will of God when the difficulties became great. Eventually he said this, "Bring Mark with you. He is profitable to me for ministering." Then Mark, who at one time refused to drink of that cup, now he is prepared to drink of that cup. So understand that you and I, when we ascertain God's will for our life, because that's what the cup is, what does life hold for you? It is the mixture that God has placed in your particular cup, and he extends it to you, and he says, "Drink." In the case of the Savior, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The mixture that the Father prepared for Christ. And then the mixture that God prepared for Jonah, he said, "No." And the mixture for John Mark, "No." And the mixture for his disciples, some said yes, and some said no. For that reason, considering the cup, in the case of Christ, and in the case of Christ's followers, the cup may be accepted, or the cup may be refused. But up until now, nothing has been said about another class of God's creatures who are not His only begotten Son, who are not believers in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the remainder, all of those who have no part in the kingdom of God, all of those who are of this world. There are those like Christ who is not of this world, and there are we who are not of this world because Christ has taken us out of this world, and then the ones that are left are worldlings. But has God forgotten about them? And the answer is no. Because as there was a cup for Christ, as there was a cup for his followers, so there is a cup for the wicked. And the difference is this, and that is why I read to you, and why it struck me so forcibly as I read it in Jeremiah 25. Because when it comes to Christ's followers, God extends the cup, and some of them, for a time, refuse to drink that cup. But in Jeremiah, God sends his prophet, and he says, "Now, give them that cup and tell them to drink it. And if they refuse, you see, they are such as we. They do not want the bitterness of that cup." It says, "If they refuse, say unto them, you shall surely drink." Do you see the difference? The difference is this, that having trusted Christ as Savior, then we are to do His will. That is what we pray. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is God who worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. But this is God working in us. But He has certain things that the world must take from His hand. But when He extends it, the world says, "No, I am not going to drink." And God says to Jeremiah, "Give them this message, you shall surely drink." So ultimately, child of God, ultimately everyone shall drink in a measure from that cup. All of us who are children of God have drunk of the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? Thank God, I am a part. I have a portion in the precious blood of Christ, the basis of that New Testament, the New Covenant, I have drunk of that cup. But if the world will not drink of that cup, then God has another cup. Notice, I told you that when the Father gave the cup to Christ, it was a cup of cursing, because it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It was the cup of sin, and the Lord Jesus drank of that cup. And having drunk of that cup, now, that same cup that to him was a cup of cursing, of bitterness, now to us, it is a cup of blessing. It is a cup of sweetness. But if man will not have that cup that has been changed by Christ into a cup of blessing, then it is called again a cup of anger, a cup of wrath, the cup that God has prepared in a special way for the wicked who will not take that cup of blessing at his hand. So all of us are going to drink from one cup. And we who are Christians, yes, at first we drank of that cup of blessing that resulted in our salvation. And then God's plan for our life, this is the way it is. The cup. What does life hold for me? What is in my cup? The Lord Jesus is he who pours into the cup. What is the portion of our life? When he was talking to Simon Peter, he said to him, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself, you walked where you wanted to. But when you shall become old, another shall gird thee and take thee whithersoever thou wouldest not. That is Peter's cup. What about him? John, the beloved apostle, is coming. And the Lord Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Do you understand? Here is the content of Peter's cup, that is one thing, and the content of John's cup is another thing. And the Lord Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And your portion in life may be sweeter than mine. It may be of a character that makes you glad, like unto Solomon. Here is David. David was a man of war his whole life long after he came in contact with King Saul. He was chased as a partridge upon the mountains. That was his portion. But his son Solomon, he was a man of peace. You see the different cups that God has for different people. And when Peter hears of what is in his cup, he wants to know about this man, what is going to be in his cup. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, I have something for him, but what I have for him is different from what I have for you, and what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So what is the content of your cup? Perhaps you know it. Perhaps you've been drinking of it already. What is the content of my cup? I know it. I've been drinking of it already. But if our cups are different, it is Christ who prepared those cups. Do you understand? It says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Then God doesn't prepare that kind of suffering. But if we suffer for Christ's sake, then that is a glorious preparation that God has made in his cup. And instead of refusing it, this is what it says concerning the early disciples, and I rejoice in this. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles have been faithfully proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and they have attributed his death to guilty Israel. And they are infuriated. And when they get through threatening them and telling them to speak no more of this man's name, lest you bring upon us his blood, it says they beat the disciples. And when they beat the disciples, it says, they went their way rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the Lord. Now, this was their portion. It was a portion that included suffering, beating at the hands of their enemies, and they went their way rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the Lord. You say, counted worthy to suffer dishonor? I told you this morning, unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into different temptations. Count it all joy. You see the outlook that we should have? But Christ has a cup. And if that cup at times is bitter, some rejoice in the bitterness of that cup. And some, like Paul, are prepared to drink of that cup, that Christians may be perfected and that the lost may be saved. Do you remember? Take that to mind once more. He says in Colossians chapter 1, he said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the church, his body's sake. That which is lacking, yes, the church is not what it should be, but Christ has given gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints, and at times there are afflictions that must befall those that minister to the church, that they may become conformed to the image of Christ, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm prepared to endure those afflictions. Now I rejoice, he says, and also concerning the lost. He says this in 2 Timothy 2. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things for the elect's sake. So Paul is prepared to suffer afflictions for the church, that they may live up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and he's prepared to suffer for the lost, that they may trust Christ as Savior. So, we may accept, and when we do, we rejoice. But the sad thing is this, that the worldling refuses, and when he refuses, there is no choice. Now, he tries to refuse. He says that. He says, I'm not going to drink that cup. And God said, Jeremiah, you tell him, you shall surely drink that cup. So this is the difference. If I endure afflictions, they're for you, that you may be conformed to the image of Christ. If I endure sufferings for the lost, it is that they may be saved. But when the wicked endure pain and punishment and afflictions, it is for no reason at all other than what they have sowed, they must reap. And that is the fearful, tragic commentary that God gives in his word. He has a portion in life for all of us. And this is what God says concerning the wicked. It says, the wicked live not out past their days. God has a portion for men if they live a certain way. But if they are wicked, God says, the wicked shall not live out half their days. And finally, in the lives of the wicked, they say at the last, I'm not going to drink that cup. I see. And so this rich man in Luke 16, who fared sumptuously every day, was dressed in gay clothing. Finally, when God said, your time on earth has ended, come. I see. He said, I refuse to drink that cup. He did. It says he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And that is what I have been reading to you again and again and again. The torments contained in that cup for the wicked. I told you that the Father desired that the only one who drink of the cup of anguish and pain and torment was Christ. And that is all that must be necessary. But if you will not have that cup of cursing that was Christ turned into a cup of blessing, then God says, you must drink and suffer the consequences of your unrepentant life. And that is what happened. And so, would indeed the rich man say, I am not going to dress in an ordinary way. I'm not going to live in an ordinary way. I'm going to fare sumptuously every day. And God allows that. And this is what I must bring to your attention. This is what Asaph observed in the lives of the wicked. It says, they are full. They have everything their hearts could desire. And it says, waters of a full cup are drained by them. You see, the wicked, the rich, they have everything. And waters of a full cup are drained by them. Asaph said, I saw all of this in light. He said, but then I went into the sanctuary of God and considered their latter end. And if you want to consider the latter end of those who will not partake of the cup of blessing that Christ offers, then look at that rich man in hell. And the Bible speaks of fire and brimstone and burning wind. And it speaks of torment. And that is the experience of the rich man in hell. In life, evidently, he was drinking waters from a full cup. He drained them. He lived sumptuously every day. But it says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, understand that when God gives the wicked cups filled with water and good things for the full, it is not by accident, it is by design. The rich man in hell besought Abraham. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch it to my tongue because I am tormented in this plague. And Abraham said to him, son, remember that in your lifetime you enjoyed good things and Lazarus enjoyed evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art in torment. I see. So in life, poor Lazarus drank of a bitter cup. But the contents of that cup ended. And then, when he left this life and went into the next, angels took him to Abraham's bosom. And it says, now he is comforted and you are in torment. And the horrible thing is this, that all of us who are Christians, if we accept God's will, and the contents of the cup are like those for Peter, then they do not go on forever. We drink them until the time that our service for God is completed. And then there is no more drinking of that cup. Then they end. God dries all tears and all the anguishes of life are done away with. You see, the cup of bitterness that we drink is a temporary thing. It comes to an end. But also, the cup that is full of blessings for the wicked, it also comes to an end. And that cup, waters of a full cup, are drained by them. That cup is emptied, and then there is another cup that they have to drink. And that is the cup of torment. And all of their appeals to heaven, to alter the circumstances of hell, cannot be changed. And that is what God is telling us concerning the wicked. That is the horrible thing. Our Savior was on the cross those 6 hours. They were an eternity to Him. But they ended. The cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And at the same time he said, Father, if it be possible, let this hour pass from me. Father, save me from this hour. Notice, if it is an hour, then it is a limited amount of time. If it is this cup, then when the cup is drained, there is nothing more to drink. And the Lord Jesus endured that hour, that period of time, which he said to his enemies, this is your hour and the power of darkness. But when that hour ended, no more would there be darkness, and no more would there be alienation, and no more would there be suffering. That was their hour and the power of darkness. And now the Lord Jesus said, I am alive forevermore. And that is the difference. And so all of our cups of bitterness, they come to an end. We simply drink them in this life, And at the same time, God may have a different cup in our hands. I wanted to tell you this. Do you realize that our Savior spoke of that cup in the Gospels, but he spoke of another cup in Psalm 16. He spoke about the Lord is the portion of my cup. Isn't that remarkable? And so it wasn't always that cup of bitterness, cup of sin. That was at the last of his life. But he said, the Lord is the portion of my cup. And we must remember this, that while Christ was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, it says that the Father, God, anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And so there was the cup of gladness throughout the life of Christ, as well as that bitter cup at the last of his life. But whatever bitterness there was, it ended. There was an hour. There was a cup that had a bottom to it. But concerning the others, there is the bottomless pit, the pit of the abyss. And that is why I read with dread in Revelation chapter 14, because what is hinted at in all of those portions in the Psalms and in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, all of those things that are hinted at on earth, they are temporary. But God says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. And that is when eternity begins. And it is an eternity of comfort. It is an eternity with the Lord Jesus in the Father's house in heaven. Or it is an eternity of separation from God in the lake of fire. And that is why those who would deny hell and future punishment, what is the meaning of that verse that speaks of those in the coming day? And you may consider all of those who in their own way reject Christ and embrace Satan and all that he stands for. It says this, there is a cup in the hand of God prepared without mixture. It's the wrath of God. And it says, the ones who are going to drink it are those who embrace Satan and all that he stands for. And what is the content of that cup? It says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. And it means this, that the cup that Christ drank, it ended. The cup that we drink, it ends. But the cup of the wicked containing the wrath of God, it never ends. Sorrow for the child of God may come in for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. But for the wicked, they may have joy in this life. But as soon as they leave this life and go into the next, what happens is that they lift up their eyes being in torment. And that is when they begin to drink that cup of wrath that is poured out without mixture, that is prepared of God, that we read of so eloquently in Psalm 75. And the wicked are going to drink it. And in Jeremiah, they say, we are not going to drink it. And God says, tell them, you shall surely drink it. And you'll find the beast and the false prophet that rise up in the last day against the Lord Jesus Christ. When the time comes, God lays hold on them and throws them alive into the pit of the abyss. We are not going to drink it. God lays hold of them and casts them into the lake of fire. They are going to drink it. And the beginning of drinking of that cup never comes to an end. And this consolation concerning Israel. Understand that God is no respecter of persons. That God will deal with you in your sins and me as his own in a different way, but he will deal with us. Judgment must begin at the house of God. But I'm so thankful that I'm telling you that your cup only contains so much and it can be drained. It can be emptied. It says this in Isaiah 51. It speaks of Israel that had sinned against God. And God said, drink this cup. And they drank the cup of staggering. And then God said, now, the cup that you have been drinking, he said, I'm going to take it from your hand, and I'm going to put it in the hand of your enemies. You see? In the coming day, all of those that have had the advantage, and we have been drinking the cup of bitterness because of our sin, or because of our association with those who have sinned, just as Jeremiah was associated with them, and therefore he had to experience all the sufferings with Israel associated with their disobedience. Still, in the coming day, God shall take the cup from our hands and shall place it in their hands. And they want to refuse it, but God says, you shall not refuse it. And all of those who have looked upon the Christians and spoken of the folly that is ours for following the Lord Jesus Christ, in that coming day, the bitterness that accrued to us because of our obedience to the Lord, then that bitterness shall be taken from us and given to them in a different way. And they must drink it. And once they begin to drink it, they shall never empty that draught of the cup of the wrath of God that is poured without mixture, and that is the portion of the wicked. A cup for Christ, and he drank it. A cup for his followers, thank God, we drink it. And a cup for the wicked. You make sure that you drink of the cup of Christ, and then Christ's cup that he gives to you. God forbid that any should ever drink that cup of the wicked that is in the hand of the Lord. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that when we look about us, we would think that there is no meaning to life, there is no design. But we are glad that you have told us specifically for nations, for individuals, your Son, his followers, and even for the wicked, you prepare a cup. Our God, we would look upon the cups that you prepare for different people. How is it that the wicked have a cup full of waters that they drain? Our Father, we understand in their lifetime they received good things, but in the coming day there will be a different cup. So let us not be envious of them, our God, but let us realize that with love and with wisdom and understanding of our frame, you have prepared our cup. And let us be as thy Son and say, not let this cup pass from us, but our Father, put it in our hearts, a desire to drink that cup. And however bitter it is, let us go our way rejoicing that we have been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for the cup that is ours, the portion that is ours. And we pray, our Father, that more and more we shall pray as thy Son concerning his cup, not my will.